Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Buckle your seatbelts, everyone. We've got good martinis for conservatives today. Happy Wednesday. All of it brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, Three Martini Lunch listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/martini. More on them a little bit later in the podcast. And Jim, let's go to our first good martini. Man, it feels good to say that. new polling out from Morning Consult, which they look at a lot of different things, and they do these polls usually in conjunction with Politico. And one of the things they looked at in their most recent poll is, what's the public impression of these companies that have decided to not do business with the NRA anymore? Largely these rental car companies, which don't offer the discounts, and other businesses that used to have some sort of benefit associated with NRA membership and have now brought those back as a result of the public pressure since the mass shooting in Florida. Well, let's take a look at where things stood here. All of these companies have taken a hit, some huge, some less so, but all of them taking a hit as a result of what they've done here in recent days. For example, Enterprise Rent-A-Car had an overall 49% net favorability. Now it's only 25. Norton Antivirus, 38 down to 20. LifeLock, 35 down to 21. MetLife, 33 down to 21. Alamo Rental Car, 30 down to 19. National Rent-A-Car, 29 down to 17. And Simply Safe, 15 down to 13. Jim, the big switch here is among Republicans, because the Democrats, like Republicans, had a net favorability towards these companies before these announcements were made. And for the most part, Democrats all ticking up in their favorability towards these companies for taking these actions. But Republicans are absolutely in revolt. Enterprise Rent-A-Car, there had been a plus 52 net favorability, now minus 9. Norton had been plus 45, now minus 13. LifeLock, plus 44, down to minus 11. MetLife, plus 40, down to minus 15. Alamo, plus 34, down to minus 16. National, plus 35, down to minus 18. And Simply Safe, plus 17, down to minus 16. So, yeah, you're getting a little bit more business maybe among Democrats, but Republicans are in full revolt. Doesn't mean you can't do it. You have the right to do it in the private sector, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't come with consequences.
Yeah, Greg, and I think one of the things that's been kind of missing in the in a good portion of this debate is why these companies reach this agreement with the National Rifle Association. The National Rifle Association's annual meeting, they hold it, you know, once a year because that's what annual means, and usually it involves something in the neighborhood of 80,000 people descending on one city. They do the floor show where you can see all the different guns and all the different models that are there. Usually they have politicians in speaking one day. You know, a good time is had by all. But when you've got a group of people, and this is, you know, through Cam and other folks, I've kind of heard about some of the behind the scenes works when they try to select a city for this. They want one which is not going to be vehemently anti-gun, and they want one that's got capacity, not just for the big rally with the president or with any type of, you know, invited elected officials, but just for sheer size. I think it was in, I want to say, Nashville a few years ago. They had to do a lot of stuff with trailers outside of the convention center because the convention center just wasn't large enough for all the companies that wanted to have floor space and for the displays and things like that. So this is a very big deal. And if you have this many people choosing to travel, well then, a lot of those folks are going to need airline tickets. A lot of those folks are going to need a car rental. And they're going to be thinking about, you know, which company should I use? So if you have, you know, if you say, oh, NRA members, we have a, you know, partnership deal with the organization, you can save 5%, save 10%, whatever it is, you're more likely to book your flights through Delta or use Enterprise Rent-A-Car or something like that. That's the point of this is not to help the NRA. The aim of it is for Delta and the airlines and the rent-a-car companies to get the business of NRA members. And, you know, by doing this, I would argue panicked response in the, you know, the aftermath of the shooting, going along with this vilification of the organization and its members. Look, these companies are kind of getting what they deserve. What's really kind of interesting, my suspicion is that the reason you don't see this sudden surge in support amongst Democrat support for the companies is I think they're a little bit surprised and or appalled that they would have the audacity to offer, you know, discount, they try to pursue the customers that are NRA members. obviously, if you're a good Democrat, you want nothing to do with NRA members and you shun them at all possible, you know, in all possible circumstances. Look, I don't see there's anything wrong. And we kind of saw this sort of a response from FedEx to say, FedEx basically said our job is to deliver packages. We don't want to take sides in these sorts of issues. We don't want to benefit one group of customers over another. That's not our job. Our job is to deliver packages. And I think the proper appropriate response for most companies, unless they're willing to pay the price and be seen as a highly politicized company, and that they're only going to have, you know, that one big chunk of the public is going to love them and one is going to hate them. This argument I've seen floating around on various social media folks is that, you know, the decisions you're seeing out of these companies comes out of their PR offices and comes out of the folks who handle their advertising, public relations, social media, et cetera, who are all very, very lefty, but who don't necessarily represent senior management or may not represent the shareholders. You know, there are probably a lot of companies, people who own stock in a rental car company who'd like it to focus on renting cars. And for airlines to focus on getting people from, you know, point A to point B as quickly as possible without losing their luggage, you know, not taking sides in these giant, angry, divisive national debates. My suspicion is that, and we've seen this before with a lot of companies where they announce something with great fanfare, it begins to affect their bottom line, and a couple of months they quietly go back and rescind their policies. That may occur in this case, it may not. I would not be surprised. I'm looking forward to being at this year's NRA convention and seeing if they've had any major significant sponsors drop out. My sense is this is coming about as people realizing that Twitter, you know, looking at Twitter, which can be entertaining, it can be fun, you know, funny GIFs and all kinds of stuff like that. But the group of Americans who are on Twitter is not representative of the country as a whole. And if you're using it for market research, you're going to be rudely surprised when the real world does not match the positive response you got on Twitter.
Yeah, two quick exits here. First of all, it'll be interesting to see now what happens to the opinion of folks towards Dick's Sporting Goods after their announcement today that they're not going to sell any more assault weapons. Insert your definition here, as well as making sure everybody's 21 before buying a weapon. The exit note on this, I think it was David French on Twitter who said, quote, I joined the NRA because of the rental car discounts, said no one ever.
A nice little bonus, but again, it's coming because the companies want the NRA members to use their products, not because, you know, the NRA is seeking, you know, some sort of massive favor from these companies.
Yes. All right. On to our second good martini. And Jim, as we all know, this is a midterm election year. Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. And usually in those circumstances, it's not a great election year for the party in control of all that stuff. So Republicans have an uphill fight, I would say, particularly in the House. The map on the Senate is fortunately very much to their favor. So hopefully some good things happen there. But we've been seeing a number of state races that would normally go towards Republicans not go towards Republicans in some of these special elections. And we've seen a couple of those recently. There was a special election primary in Arizona's 8th congressional district. This is to replace Trent Franks, who resigned towards the end of last year after the complaints about how he brought up the issue of surrogacy with his staff members. And nonetheless, the primaries to replace him were held yesterday. And on the Republican side, there was a bit of controversy, to say the least, and this appears to have been settled in hopefully a good way. Politico, Debbie Lesko, a former state senator, won a special Republican primary election Tuesday for an Arizona House seat, beating nearly a dozen other Republicans, including Steve Montenegro, a state Senate colleague who was drawn into a sexting scandal in the final week of the campaign. With 100% of the precincts reporting, Lesko finished with 36% of the vote, according to the Associated Press. Montenegro received 24% of the vote, as did a guy named Phil Lovis, who served as state chairman for the Trump campaign in 2016. During the final week of the primary, a bombshell report of nude photos and text messages exchanged between Montenegro and a legislative staffer left GOP operatives worried that the seat would be at risk in the general election if Montenegro was nominated. A little more detail on what was involved in that. This is yesterday from NBC News. Montenegro is a Christian minister who has emphasized virtue, honor, and integrity in his campaigns and features a photo of himself posing with his wife and young daughter on his website. Last week, media outlets obtained text messages that the Arizona Republic described as flirty between Montenegro and a former state Senate aide, including a late-night message telling her he wished she had come on a work trip after she texted him a topless photo of herself, but Jim, you'll be comforted to know that Montenegro says nothing inappropriate was going on between them. So I think it's safe to say, Jim, that it's probably a good thing that the Republicans don't have to deal with that heading into the general election.
You know, I need to remember that line, Greg. No, it was a completely appropriate topless photo, honey. There's absolutely nothing. You know, if it had been an inappropriate topless photo, then there would be reason to concern. What is she showing, surgical scars or something? Like, what is the... What are the circumstances that make... No. It totally wasn't a sexual topless photo. Greg, just looking back on the experience of Trent Franks, I've concluded the only thing that a member should ask a staffer to make pregnant is a pause. Look, this is looking like it's going to be a challenging election cycle for Republicans. It's not hard to remember back when the wind was at their backs in 2010. We saw this in both House races and Senate races. The Senate races were a little bit more profile. The Christine O'Donnells of the world, the Sharon Engels taking on Harry Reid. Ken Buck in Colorado is another candidate who people said, we had a good chance in that race and we blew it because we nominated the wrong candidate. In this case, you want to avoid the easy layups for the Democrats. And I think that's probably what would have happened if you'd had the Christian minister with all of this baggage heading into the general election. So, look, it's been a long stretch where the Republican primary voters seem to have managed to pick the worst possible option and made things as easy as possible for the Democrats. It's nice to see one go our way for a change. Now, it's entirely possible that Lesko will have some terrible scandal in her background. But until then, things are looking up for Republicans, and I'll take that any day, Greg.
Well, there is a little bit of a scandal with her. The complaint against her from this Phil Lovis guy, who I mentioned also, was that Lesko allegedly steered $50,000 from her state Senate account to a PAC supporting her congressional bid. So I'm not exactly sure what the law says, but...
Those mundane financial misdeeds. I mean, the irony is that obviously, you know, the salacious stuff is more likely to, you know, both get covered, but, you know, people may or may not understand various financial rules of diverting funds. Everybody understands topless photos sent to the boss.
Yes. Yes, they do. And this is a hugely red district. So I would think even despite that Lesko will probably be favored here. But we'll see. Meanwhile, if you're hiring either a new congressman and you don't want someone who claims that receiving topless photos or even not a congressman, anyone is somehow not inappropriate, perhaps you would like a little help in the hiring process. So are you hiring? Because every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just hoping that the right people see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job.
Now, these invitations have revolutionized how you can find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter is how you find them.
So businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, listeners to the 3 Martini Lunch can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/martini. That's ZipRecruiter.com/martini. ZipRecruiter.com/martini. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, on to our third good martini of the day. And Jim, stop me if you've heard this before, but we're hoping to dismantle Obamacare at the Supreme Court. Okay, don't actually stop me. Anyway, the effort is on again. We're 0-2, but let's try anyway.
This is third from time's a charm.
Yes, exactly. This is from The Hill. A coalition of 20 states has filed a lawsuit alleging Obamacare is unconstitutional. They're claiming that since the GOP eliminated the tax penalty associated with the individual mandate, that Obamacare itself is no longer constitutional. The lawsuit against the federal government, led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel, was filed Monday in the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of Texas. In 2012, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that Obamacare's individual mandate was constitutional because Congress has the power to levy taxes. The lawsuit points to that part of the ruling in its argument that the law is no longer constitutional. The GOP tax law eliminated the tax penalty of the Affordable Care Act without eliminating the mandate itself. What remains then is the individual mandate without any accompanying exercise of Congress's taxing power, which the Supreme Court held that Congress has no authority to enact, according to the complaint. So, Jim, basically, the government can't fine you anymore for not buying health insurance, although you're technically still required by the law to get it. And since that's the case, Judge Roberts' own language is now being thrown back in his face, and they're hoping that somehow that will get him to agree that the rest of his decision, which was that Obamacare is unconstitutional under the Commerce Clause, will now rule the day. What do you think?
You know, Greg, I almost wonder if the Republican state attorneys general are setting this up there with a almost with a post-it note attached. Justice Roberts, you sure you don't want to take a mulligan on this one? You know, there was an awful lot of pressure brought to bear on the Supreme Court back when it was going to make this decision before the 2012 election. The stakes were very, very high. And you saw the likes of, you know, Patrick Leahy and various other Democrats saying that if the Supreme Court were to strike down Obamacare as unconstitutional, this would be an unbelievable expansion of power. This would be judicial activism. This would be, you know, people, Justice Roberts' name would go down, you know. And look, Roberts is a human being who I think does worry about the long-term institutional reputation of the Supreme Court. It does not command an army or something like that. It only has its own moral authority and the widespread recognition of its authority in our constitutional system. If people start not believing the Supreme Court is good and noble and all that kind of stuff, you could end up having some serious constitutional crises down the road. I don't think Roberts made the right decision in that circumstance. But look, you know, time has passed and we now know several things that we did not know when that decision came down. The first being that, look, this is not this was never popular legislation. It did not get enacted and run smoothly, even beyond the issues of the websites. A lot of the promises that were made in order to sell it, so to speak, turned out to not be the case. And there's been an election of a Republican president and a Republican Congress who have then now gone out and managed to repeal the individual mandate and also done away with IPAB, which was going to be the quote-unquote death panel. This was the part that was going to eventually start limiting the authority of doctors to reach certain decisions if they were not cost-effective. Look, you know, Supreme Court, you came to this conclusion of, oh, it's just a routine tax, even though back during the entire passage, the Obama administration and congressional Democrats kept insisting, you know, every single day and twice on Sundays that this was not a new tax. And the moment they needed to defend it on constitutional grounds, they insisted it was a tax. Look, I would see this as nothing more than constitutional karma. If things come back and the Supreme Court saying, look, the only way we could say this was justified was because it's a tax. Now that it doesn't have the tax, there is absolutely no way to find this constitutional. I'm not sure it's going to work, but I think it's certainly worth a try. And just further indications that Obamacare was always a Jenga tower. This was always a Rube Goldberg structure to this entire initiative. And it was you remove some key piece and all of a sudden the rest of it can't work. Maybe bring us a little bit closer to a full repeal and someday replacing it with something that brings something akin to the free market, customers and providers starting to negotiate, settling the price that fits best, and everybody getting the care they need and hopefully getting to keep the doctors and the plans that they like. Nobody knows how it's going to turn out, but always good to see, you know, Obamacare in further legal jeopardy at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I'll take it. And there's one thing that's obviously very different about it now. And I've talked to a couple people about this and they're wondering, hey, how strongly are the defendants actually going to work on this case?
A little bit Solicitor different. General throwing the fight, you're thinking, you know, they're tanking, you know.
Yes, exactly. Now, on one hand, we didn't like it very much when the Obama administration used to just decide, yeah, you know, some of these laws, we don't really agree with them anymore, so we're just going to not enforce them anymore. So I'm not sure I like that, but I can see perhaps the defense not being quite as vigorous as it was 6 years ago.
Here's hoping, Greg.
All right, we'll see. Jim, have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter. Right now, 3 Martini Lunch listeners can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/martini. And tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.